on one up top. Bug on one up top. All the other formations, they surely have to stop. Bug on one up top. Bug on one up top. Jamie and Jordan, the bullshit never stops.
You're listening to the One Up Top podcast, hosted by Jamie and Jordan. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast and all of our social media outlets at One Up Top Podcast.
So, and finally, thank you all for coming, and thank you for your support in the last 10 years. Enjoy.
And a very big welcome back to this week's episode of One Up Top. Back on Zoom this week, and I'd like to thank the last guest, Scott Allardyce, as he looks forward to his cup final against Celtic this coming Saturday in Hampden Park. And I'm delighted to be joined by one of the league's greatest ever midfielders, I have to say. Don't get me wrong. I didn't see him much, Kevin, despite my old face here. I was in nappies when you think you signed for Bowles back in the 90s.
Oh, really?
So, I didn't get to see too much of you myself, but you know, certainly a Bohemian here. I'm delighted to be joined by. And so, it's Kev, how are you getting on these days?
Yeah, all good, Joe. Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah, all was great. I mean, like, I gave up now. It seems like a lifetime ago, like 2008. So, I'm still working in football, thank God. I started off, you know, I come back to England and started working for a men's City. I was there 5 years and then like went to Liverpool for 3 years, and now I work for like an agency, like doing scouting and looking after players. So yeah, while it's always difficult giving up football, you know, doing the thing you love, I'm thankful that I'm sort of still involved in it, to be honest.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, especially, you know, coming from a League of Ireland, there's not necessarily a great amount of post retirement work. I suppose going back to England in your home country helped that as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's always, you know, I had a great time in Ireland. It's, you know, it's a special place for me. Like, my two girls were born there. My little boy was born here, but my two girls were born there. So it's has a special place in my heart. But I think sometimes when you've got children and you've been living away for quite a long time, I was probably living away for about 14 years, you know, like including when I was in Hong Kong and Singapore. So sometimes it is good to get home and be around family when you've got your own kids, you know, just to help out and, yeah, just have that family environment. So, yeah, it was the right time then when I had to leave. And, yeah, but, yeah, I had a great time in Ireland.
Yeah, I was actually looking at going to Hong Kong when I was away last week itself. What was it like playing there?
Well, you went there?
I was looking to go, but you actually had to put it in a month in advance.
Yeah. No, it was... That was a great place. It's probably one of my favourite cities, to be honest. It's just like hustle and bustle. It's got like, you know, obviously the weather is nice, and the league was okay, but you know, you're training every day. We're training like 4 o'clock every day. Sunny, you know, we'd go down to the beach in the morning, go to the gym or something, and then go and train. So quality of life is really good. Yeah, and I ended up been there 3 years, so it was it's just one of those things. It was a great experience, because when you're living in Hong Kong as well, like, we went to China on pre-season tours, we went to Cambodia, played in front of the king of Cambodia once. That was quite funny, but you just do things you wouldn't normally do,
right? Yeah.
You know, from there, like, went on holiday to Thailand and Bali and things like that. So yeah, the quality of life was really good.
Yeah. And look, that ended up leading back to Dublin. As we do it all, I guess we go back to the very start and how you managed to end up at the big club.
At the big club. Well, yeah, as I said, like, I was in Hong Kong 3 years, Singapore, I think it was like half a season because it was a summer season when I come home. And yeah, I was probably going to go back out to Asia, actually. I had an offer from a club in Japan. But when I got back, I think it was like a couple of weeks later, my mum died. So it sort of changed everything. Obviously, yeah, it's more difficult then to go. Like, when you've got family around you, it's more difficult to go like 12, 13 hours away. Do you know what I mean? So
yeah.
I was training with Barnett. Yeah, I was training there for a little bit, and John Steele was the manager there. And John was good friends with Roddy, probably still is. And he just said, do you fancy going, you know, like, he said, like, let's see where at the end of the season, money-wise, he obviously didn't have a lot of money. He said, do you fancy going over to Ireland to play? You know, get some money, and then we'll see where we are. So I said, yeah, why not? So I went over there. Funny story, Roddy's expecting, like, this midfield, like, warrior enforcer, and I've turned up with a little baby face and floppy hair, as he said. And he was thinking, what's going on here? But yeah, it was actually the first game come over. We went down to Cork and we drew 0-0, which is, you know, it was a good result back then because Cork were going for the lead and we were fighting relegation. So yeah, I played a few games and really enjoyed it, and ended up staying. So, and it's funny because John, when I retired, John still called me. He was at Dagenham and Redbridge, and he said, oh, do you fancy coming and playing there? And I said, no, I'm done. So that was quite funny. But yeah, I think the connection between Roddy and John Steele, that's what got me there. And yeah, I was, you know, as soon as I came over and enjoyed the football, a great set of lads, love Roddy. So yeah, ended up staying. So that was good.
Yeah, I think it was you and a lad called Dean Martin came over at the same time.
Dean Martin, yeah.
And I think the word was, I had a... Olds only had money to keep on his.
Yeah, that was the thing. Like Dino, like he was I played with him in Hong Kong as well. So that's why, you know, he came over with me. Dino was a really good player as well. And he actually went to Iceland, and I think he's like coaching China now. So he was a great mate of mine. But I think, yeah, Roddy could only keep one of us. And I think he needed a central midfielder rather than a winger, you know. On the tannoy on the first game we played at Cork, he says, number 11 Dean Martin, he's a winger, not a singer. So that was a good little story. But Dino, he was a great player. Roddy really liked him actually, and you know, great lad, but he could only keep one of us and he needed a midfielder. So
I don't think that's a decision the club regrets.
Well, yeah, I'm sure Dino would have been a good signing.
Yeah, I suppose both managed to obviously stay in the league that season, and then I think Roddy really took the ball by the horns. I think there was a bit of a clear out, and only one man really leaves away from that squad, and that was Tucky. Was the only one that was sort of playing part time as meant that double winning season.
Yeah, that's it. I think Roddy had these grand plans, and you know, he wanted everybody to go full time, but Tocchi was so good that you couldn't not have him. And I know there are a lot of other good players as well part time, but I think Tocchi's fitness levels were sort of unbelievable. So he was just one of them sort of natural athletes where, you know, he could be part time, come in, train, and then he'd go and play on a Friday night or whenever we played, and he would be at the same level as everybody else. So, but yeah, he already had these plans, and to be fair, it worked out quite well.
Yeah, that season, of course, was the famous two trips to Europe, probably two greatest results, arguably, that Irish teams have ever had, was, of course, first up in Aberdeen. What do you recall of the Aberdeen games?
Oh, the Aberdeen one. Yeah, it was... Well, the first leg, we obviously went up there. We played really well. And it was funny because I think he left Crowe out that game. Because I think he wanted to play one up front, and he went for Trevor just... like running in channels and holding the ball up and whatever. We went 1-0 down, and then the last 10 minutes we scored two, so it was crazy, you know. And then, like, to be honest, after that, you know you're looking at the return leg and you're thinking you're probably under even more pressure now, you know, because we've had a great result and we're playing at home and we have to hang on. I think first half, was it? I think it was Keefe or Trevor. I think it was Keefe got sent off. Yeah, down on Keefe.
That's right, yeah.
It was 0-0, and we're like, oh, how are we going to hang on? So, and then Morrow got an own goal, a great finish. And yeah, we were hanging on at the end, but yeah, all the lads put in a shift. And probably, I would say that's my best feeling after a game. Once the final whistle blew, then that's probably my best feeling after a game because, yeah, it was some achievement. Obviously, at that time, we hadn't had great results in Europe as a league. You know, we were just starting to go full time then. So, yeah, it was a massive result because to beat a club like Aberdeen, who were, you know, doing well back then, you know, when we hadn't had great results, it was the relief was, yeah, it was unbelievable. So it's probably, I would say, on that final whistle was, yeah, probably my best feeling as a Bose player.
Yeah, I remember Roddy Collins, I think, was playing my games all week. He said, once that Aberdeen manager gets sacked, he's taking his job.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that was typical Roddy. Yeah. But he was playing mind games all week, you know, and even with the Kaiserslautern boys. I remember the German TV crew come over to watch us train. And Roddy said, right, we'll play a bit of Gaelic football. And chucking the ball around. And he said, they'll think we're a bunch of Egypts, as he says, and, you know, they'll take us lightly. But, yeah, he had the Aberdeen manager. I can't remember his name now. He had him on a bit of string. He was winding him up. Yeah, saying he's taking his job. And, yeah, I think they got a little bit rattled in the end. So, yeah, that was typical Roddy
sort of. Yeah. The Aberdeen result, of course, the Kaiserslautern result, we got beaten at home, but we went away. What the feeling that you get from Roddy Collin was, I had our mate Macar and Paul Bourne on, and he said that Roddy could like make you think that you're a Premier League player and that you could actually win these things. He gave the players that were going out there in Germany at that time that, you know, we can actually win here in a way, which we did, of course. But what was it like to yourself when you listened to Roddy pre-game in the dressing room, you know?
Yeah, Roddy was up for an over. Yeah, I mean, he would make you feel 10 foot tall. So, I think the Kaiserslautern in the first leg actually we were a little bit unlucky because it was 0-0. We were in the game, we were doing well, and then Trevor got sent off. So, like, we had a few issues with that. Like, he got sent off in the first half, so it was a case of just trying to hold out. And we held out to about 70th, 75th minute, and they just got one goal. And then, as often happens, they got 1, 2, 3, you know, quite quickly. We got one back. So I think it's always going to be a tall order to go to the Kaiserslautern. But I think Roddy, you know, he instilled belief in us that, you know, we're good players. And, you know, if we stick to the game plan that we, you know, we could have, you know, go out and win. So, yeah, it was an unbelievable result. And then, like, Crowe had a goal. So it was 1-0 at half time, and then Crowe's second half.
Disallowed as well.
Yeah, disallowed. So that would have been interesting if it went to, well, it would have gone 3-3. Yeah. So, yeah, it was one of those great nights, but ultimately we couldn't go through. But still, to go to a Bundesliga team,
I just wonder.
It's like mirrors left closer. What was that? Sorry.
Oh yeah, Kaiserslautern actually just won the league a couple of years prior to that.
Yeah, definitely. And they had like Djorkaeff, World Cup winner, Yuri Djorkaeff, 1998 World Cup winner. They had Mario Basler, who was, he won Champions League with Bayern Munich, and Miroslav Klose in his career, actually. He came on a couple of times. So, yeah, they're a really good team. So to beat them was a great achievement, yeah.
Yeah, so that was the end of the European trip there. And, yeah. You know, the fact that another team really stuck it up to a Premier Bundesliga. I know Kaiserslautern, I think they're knocking about the third division now these days. But, you know, I don't think that will be repeated again if it happened in Europe. It's hard to see, you know, the way football has gone, particularly these days. But that season went on, and I think both was a bit of a slow start to the season. As you said yourself, red cards were a bit of an issue. There is one game I do want to highlight, of course, that you will probably never forget, which was the Sanchez Cero massacre, 6-4.
Yeah, I mean, that was probably, yeah, in terms of league games, that was probably I think it's a standout one. Because it's just like against your rivals, to be 4-1 down at half-time, there was a lot of talk. You know, I think Lodi was under a little bit of pressure because I'm not sure where we were in the league then, maybe about third or something. And There was talk of he was under pressure, and then like 4-1 down at half time. I think quite a few of the fans left, which it's understandable. Yeah. Right? Against it didn't want to see us get beat by Rovers like that. And then second half we come and turned it around. But it was a funny game because even like first half, I think we controlled a lot of it and we created chances. But every time they broke, they seemed to score. It's one of them games, you know. So Roddy's come in, yeah, throwing a few things around half time. He just said, like, go out and win the second half. And yeah, again, he instilled that belief in us. But I think we had to wait 15, 20 minutes for a first goal. But as soon as we got it, you could sense the momentum was with us. And then, like, to go on and get another, yeah, 4 goals, it was unbelievable. So, probably, yeah, one of my best memories. And I think it's one of those games that will live in Bo's history, you know.
Big time, yeah. The result is still talking about today, and there's still a flag hanging up in the old terrace there saying 6-4 Santry. But that's one thing that is talked about. I think, remember, Mac said to me in Bournemouth, he said to me that, you know, you knew you were getting a half time, and Roddy walked in, took his coat off, and hung it up. Everyone was with their heads down between their legs. Fourth person to look up was getting it.
Yeah, exactly. I think Roddy could do that. But to be fair, once he'd given it out, then he like got us back up again and just said, "But you know, we are still in it. Let's just go and play for pride. Let's get the first goal and then see what happens." So, yeah, that probably saved him his job that day. That second half come.
Yeah, definitely. So hopefully, it's never repeated because I know which way it'll probably go these days. We are, of course, then getting into the January. I think it was that time, and the season was a bit of a breather taken because of those foot and mouth time, which sort of slumped Shelbourne's position at the top of the table. What's your memory of sort of that breaking out and then you're coming back into it and more or less coming into the running?
Yeah, well, to be honest, I read about it like the other day when I was reading about the 6-4 game. I actually forgot about it. I thought, oh, yeah, that happened, didn't it? Yeah, so I couldn't even remember. We had a bit of a break. And maybe sometimes it can do a team good just to have that little break, recharge your batteries a little bit, get rid of any niggles, and then you're starting again. But at the same time, Shells are in a good position. So, you know, it was theirs to lose at the time, to be honest. And yeah, for us to finally do it on the last day, Cork doing us a favour as well. It was incredible, really. So, unbelievable scenes down in Kilkenny at that time when we won it.
Yeah, I think fans were called. There was obviously no such thing as mobile phones back then. The degree that they are these days, it was people making phone calls back home or listening to the radio on the side of the pitch.
Yeah, you are making me feel really old now. I have all these nappies, no mobile phones. So, that's the thing. I think there's some sort of footage. I don't know how people did it, but it was a great day. Just because, like, you was hoping that they might slip up, but you know, for it to actually happen, it was incredible. Fans were happy that day.
Yeah, hopefully we get another league title turning up. I know we'll probably be waiting just as long this time around.
Yeah, it's tough going at the moment.
Yeah, it is indeed. But we keep on keeping on. And I think towards the end of the season, then Roddy was more or less gone out of the club. What was it like then for yourself, the manager that brought you in, now left the club? Was a bit of uncertainty around yourself about what was staying, or were you already contracted the club?
Yeah, I think my contract was, no, I had 1 year left, I think. I think I had 1 year left. It was a difficult one because like Roddy brought most of us in. You know, so we had a lot of loyalty towards him. I found out it was like the end of season break. I think Roddy was in Florida, and there was a lot of rumours circulating. And then we found out that he was gone. So yeah, all the lads, to be fair, were gutted because we built a great bond. A European adventure, probably one of the best seasons in history, in Bo's history. And then suddenly the main man has gone. So it was a lot of uncertainty. I think the good thing was we had Pete there, and obviously he was there with Roddy, so there was a little bit of continuity. But yeah, it definitely shook things up a little bit in the dressing room for sure.
Yeah. So, was any funny stories about Roddy up there? So you can think of off the top of your head.
Roddy, I think of quite a few, to be honest. But there was one time actually in Burnsy, like him and Burnsy were so funny that they'd have a love hate relationship, you know.
I think they still do these days.
Yeah, they do. They do. They were, you know, great characters. There was one time Burnsy was playing. I think I can say this. I can swear and stuff now.
Walk away.
I think he was playing against Shamrock Rovers, and he was at Tolka Park. And like, Burnsy weren't having the best time of it, and fans were giving him abuse. And so he comes in at half time, and Roddy goes, Burnsy, you're having a fucking nightmare. What's up with you? And he's like, Rod, they keep shouting at me, like, my missus takes it up the.
Walk away. Well,
shut your fucking curtains at night and just get on with it. So, like, all the dressing room just like cracked up, you know. I mean, that was a typical Roddy, like a one liner, you know. It was another time, like, in the relegation playoff, in 99, or was it no, 98, 99, 98. Yeah, in Cove. So relegation, we beat Cove 5-0. It was half time, we were about 4-0 up or something like that. So Roddy comes in, I'll just keep it cool. It's only 3 points. And, you know, we're like, no, Rod, this is, because they had the goalkeeper sent off. And we're like, Rod, this is on aggregate. You know what I mean? Like, he says, oh, fuck it, then go and score some more goals. You know, he didn't realise like that.
It was playoff.
So. Yeah, he was a great character, really. There was another time when we went to Aberdeen, and he was like doing all his like mind games and everything. He said to Trevor in training, he said, right, as soon as we get a corner, I just want you to kick it out for a goal kick. He said that will mess with all the heads, you know, of all the Aberdeen players and the fans. And he's like, I'm not sure I can do that. He says, no, you've got to go and do it at the moment. And then I think, like Trevor had said to, like, I think me and Hilly and whatever, like, I can't be doing that. And then, like, Roddy said, yeah, okay, we'll leave that. But it was just like a typical...
It's a madness.
Typical thing that Roddy would just always think outside the box. And it seems a bit crazy, and it is at times. But, that's what made him, like, unique, I think.
Yeah, it was it when I was away on holidays. I actually listened to his book online, a quite good book. Definitely a few stories of him growing up and plenty about his brother too, that he probably mentions yours a lot.
Yeah, well, in his book. Yeah.
Yeah, the Rod Farley release.
Yeah, that was brilliant. Yeah, it was a great book. It just sums him up. And yeah, it's funny because when I first come over, I was in Stephen's house in Castle Knock, like the brother. Yeah. So, we were living there, like just renting it off him, because he's obviously renting it out to us. But I read the book. It's brilliant.
Yeah, I suppose finish up on Roddy's era there. If you could describe the man in one word, how would you say?
In one word. You can't use one word with Roddy. I'd say inspirational.
Inspirational, very good.
Because he helped me a lot. Be fair, when I first come over, it was like a father figure, so yeah, he was great.
Good stuff. And then of course Pete Matton came. A lot of people would have probably said, right man, wrong time.
Well, yeah, as I said, there was a bit of turmoil, and as players you never know 100% what's going on and what's gone on, do you know what I mean, in the background and whatever. And I know Pete and Roddy were close. But we were sort of I think the players were upset, and I think quite a few of the lads were noses were out of joint. But Pete was a great guy, and I pulled him one day, and I just said, Pete, like, obviously the boys are not happy, and I just want to say to you, like, did you know Roddy was going? And he said, no, yeah. But he said, like, they approached me after he'd gone, and like, I thought I had to take it, and that was good enough for me because, like, we didn't. I think some of the players thought that something had happened. But Pete's like, he's a top guy. You know, he's a great football man. But yeah, probably it was. How can you follow that season in, you know, 2000, 2001? So
yeah, definitely difficult. Definitely. And then of course, I think I believe it was Stephen Kenny then came in.
Yeah.
Of course, he's gone on to do great things now, but he's also in the league that season too when he arrived.
Yeah, I think. I think he took over. Yeah, I think he took over mid-season, and the next season we won it. I think that was right. Yeah. Memories getting old, mate. But he was, as soon as you saw him, you could see he was a proper football man. Real, really thought about the game. He liked to play a good style of football. He brought players in that good technical players, and I think you can see that now, you know, the way he tries to play with Ireland as well. And he was young then, I think he was early 30s. So,
yeah, that's right.
You know, it was his first, well, it was his second job after Longford, and he'd done a good job there. He got us playing great football. He had this real presence about him, attention to detail. And yeah, that year we played some unbelievable football. And we built up a really good squad, and I'm pleased to see him doing well for himself now because he deserves it.
Yeah, because you think about it, he's managing 20 years now. There's not many managers surviving from 2000, 2003, like from when he was with Longford, and like he's still seen as a progressive manager these days.
I mean, like he's still pretty young for a manager, and to have 20 years under your belt, it shows you how well he has done. I think he's, like I said, the way he tries to play football is you know, he's keeping up with the times, really. So he plays sort of modern football, and the football we played back then was attacking, you know, two wingers who are, you know, real technical players, tried to get the ball on the ground and play, you know, play really good football. So it's great to see him. Yeah, it's great to see him doing so well.
Yeah, and any standout memories that year when he's won the league?
I think, again, the thing that sticks out most in my mind is that final whistle in Tolka when we, Tolka Park, when we'd won 1-0. Bobby Ryan got a header. And then Bobby pops up with a header. He's like, never headed the ball in his life. just because I think they were catching up on us a little bit. We'd started off flying. So then there's like little questions around. I think if we'd lost that game, you know, we'd have been under pressure. So, for Bobby to get that winner and then like the relief at the final whistle was unbelievable. Because I think a lot of people can win the league once, but once you've won it a second time, it's, you know, sometimes it's even sweeter.
Yeah, and of course then it was definitely no secret at the time. A few of those men had moved across down to the canal, down to Tolka. I think Crow, Ryan and Harkins had moved down. And of course, being the player you were yourself, you were linked. How close was that move to Shells?
I was out of contract. So there's always uncertainty because I was thinking, like, when I think I was 28 then. So you're always thinking, it's probably going to be your last decent contract you signed for 4 years. Then you're in your early 30s. So there was, to be honest, like, Drogheda at the time, they were, like, under Paul Doolan. They were, like, making moves. And, you know, they wanted to sign me. Obviously, I was talking to Bose and Pat Fellon was at Shells then. So... It was a difficult period because, like, I wasn't sure what was going on with Bose. There were certain things happening, you know, some political things. And I saw the other boys, you know, leaving. But I wanted to stay because, like, when you're captain of a club and you've got an affiliation, I didn't really want to go, you know. But yeah. I did speak with Pat and, like you have to do when you're out of contract, but in the end, stayed, and I don't regret it at all. I know they won the league after that, but it was more important to me to stay and be captain and like be there like for 10 years. So
yeah,
no regrets on that.
Yeah, of course. And then Gareth Farley took taking over the reins, which is probably seen as another difficult period under Bowles throughout your decade there.
Well, yeah, it was tough for Gareth because, like, he's come in. Playing manager is always difficult anyway. And I don't think you see it so much anymore. Like, it's
Yeah.
too, I think it's too hard. You basically got two full-time jobs, and you've got to play to your highest ability and make decisions as a manager. And he was a great player, Gareth, as well. Like, I think when we played together in midfield, I enjoyed it. It was, I think he had a few injuries and he couldn't always play, but. And then he had to put up with, as soon as he took over, like Crowe left, it was Bobby Ryan, Hawks, Colin Hawkins, Gary O'Neill. So we lost a lot of good players. And then he had to bring in sort of a younger one. So, but again, Gareth, like he had a very clever guy, really knowledgeable, good guy. But maybe at the time, like player manager didn't, yeah, it was tough, it was tough for him. But yeah, you could tell he had a good football brain. He was a great player, and he was a good guy. And I had a good relationship with Gareth.
Yeah, I think still over those years, we played quite a few games in Europe. Beat Borisov, Rosenborg, Tallinn, Ghent, Real, and Riga. Any particular standout moments of those or any stories for the trips?
I think the Batty Borisov one was probably the best one because you look at them now, or in recent years, they played like Champions League group stages. They've they went on to another level, like from us in, but we beat them in one of the Champions League qualifiers, and we'd lost 1-0 away in Minsk, I think, or just outside Minsk, and the club was under quite a bit of pressure because they needed money financially. So for the home leg, I did feel quite a bit of pressure, but yeah, we battered them 3-0. It was probably, yeah, I think it's one of our best performances that I can remember in my time there, considering, their name now and, what they've gone on to achieve. And probably the game I felt I played the best in, probably over my time, or, certainly in Europe. So, yeah, that one was a special one to go through 3-1. And then we obviously played Rosenborg and they'd won the league like 10, 11 years on a trot, got to group stages of like Champions League, and then we lost 1-0 at home, and then we got battered away 4-0, to be fair. So I think we're a little bit naive in those games we played against them. But yeah, I think the Batey Borisov one stands out as one of the best victories.
Yeah, I think you were in Riga, weren't you?
Yes, I think so. Is that an Intertoto, I think?
Yeah, it was a good game. I do have a story for it, yeah, but I don't think I can say it on air, so I'll wait till I finished up here before I say it back to you.
All right
Yeah.
then. Okay. Yeah.
Anyway, so then Sean Connor comes in after that. What was it like at the time there?
It was a bit of a tricky period, to be honest. I think when you're a club so long, and I don't know, a new manager comes in, and sometimes they get the wrong end of the stick. I thought Sean was thinking that maybe I had the eyes on coaching or managing or something. And to be honest, I was never like that. I'd never had any interest, I just wanted to play. And at that time, I think, yeah, my daughters had been born and they were like struggling with their like illness. And, it was a difficult time really. And I think I was probably on my way to, yeah, starting to think about giving up because, my daughters had this condition that would just wake every blooming minute of the night, every half hour or whatever.
Yeah.
I could feel myself sort of deteriorating. So I knew the end was near. So, but no, he got us to third place in the league. Did a decent job. But yeah, eventually, yeah, he left and Pat came in.
And I said, where Nutsy comes, trophies followed shortly after. What was your time like on the pack?
Really good. Now, unfortunately, again, as I said, like I was sort of on the downward slope. I was getting a few injuries. I broke my foot, just because like when you can't live right off the pitch, on the
Yeah.
pitch training and playing, it's if you're training every day, high intensity, because like Pat and Liam O'Brien who came back in. They put on great sessions. It's high intensity, you know, and that's the way we played, you know, the way we trained. So I started, my body was starting to, deteriorate then. But Pat was, he was a great guy. I remember the time when I said, like, I was going to retire. And I think it was just after that game in Riga, actually. I played the first game. I think we drawn 0-0. The second game, I was on the bench, and like Glenn Cronin's man. And I said to him, he says, that's all right. I can help you with the kids tonight. Because normally, like, I went to sleep with a friend's house the night before a game. Just get sleep. So I was on the bench. I was nearly half asleep because I'd been up all night with the girls. And then, like, Glenn Cronin went down after about 20 minutes. Like, he'd done his knee. So Pat said, oh, can you go on? So I've gone on, and I just could not. I couldn't even see the ball. I was running around, like, and then my legs had gone. Like, my mind had gone. You know, I was so tired. And after that game, like, a couple of days later, I said to Pat, look, I only had, like, 6 months left on the contract anyway. I said to Pat, look, I can't carry on now. Like, it's the window. Just... get someone else in, and you know, Pat was like top drawer. He really was. He's a great person. So, and he just said, "Yeah, no worries. Whatever you need, whatever you want to do, you know, we support you." So, that's where I left. And then they brought in. It was a midfielder. I can't remember now. And he was a good little player, and he's helped them. He's pushed them on to win the league. So I think it was good. It was the right decision all round. So, but
yeah, I think
Pat was a great. Yeah, he was a good football man. He knew his stuff inside out. He had a real authority about him. Played really good, high-intensity football. And he did a great job, didn't he?
Yeah, he's back at Bowles now as he's basically running the football director at Bowles at the moment. So,
is he? I didn't know.
Yeah, so hopefully, as you said, where Nutty goes, trophies follow, so hopefully they're not too far behind him this time around.
Director of football, is he?
He's director of football, yeah.
Get on the phone to him.
Best scouting job. But I suppose the three teams you played for that won the league, if they went into a three-team playoff, what positions would they finish?
Well, the teams that I played in?
The 0-1 team that won the double, the Kenny league-winning team and the Nutty team.
Oh, Jesus. That's a tough one. That's a tough one. I don't know. Like, I look at Roddy's team, and it was full of, like, just great characters, you know, to win. I think Stephen's team, played, like, great football. And then Pat's team was, probably a mixture of both as well. So, I don't know, it'd be a draw. I don't know.
Very politician's answer there.
Yeah, I'm good at that.
And there is a part of the podcast now where you're not too familiar with. We do go around asking a couple of your teammates and fans some stories about you that it wouldn't be too, or you might be aware of, but I've been asked about the nickname Scufty.
Yeah, that's Crowy. Yeah, that was Crowy gave me that one. Yeah, that's because, like, there was one time in training I went to shoot, and I didn't have the best reputation anyway for scoring and shooting. I scuffed the ball and he got Scufty, so that was it after that. It's Crowy's fault. He's a little shit.
And I was asked to say, are you still a wizard at the crosswords?
Yes, I am. Yeah. I'll sit on the back of the bus doing like a little crossword. Yeah, that was how I passed my time.
there was no podcasts or mobile phones.
No, exactly. Yeah. So we had to either have a conversation or do a crossword or read the paper. So
yeah,
rather than having a conversation with these boys, I'll do a crossword.
I did ask you, we did switch the voices from your phone to your laptop. I'm going to forward you on something here that I'd like you to play. It's from a former friend of the show. Unfortunately, has deceased now, but maybe not unfortunately, but I will send you on this and I'll ask you to play it and explain. Well, it's probably self-explanatory.
So, listen to it now, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, it's not bad, is it?
No. Oh, dear Lord, goodness gracious, guys and girls. As it happens, Uncle Jim has a letter here from a Kevin Hunt in Chatham in Kent. Dear Jim, Please could you fix it for me? Oh, to meet the Tottenham Hotspur football team. Oh,
Maka. Yeah. Oh, he's a great character, Maka. Yeah, we'd always just have a laugh about... He was great impression, so... I don't know, one day we talked about Jimmy Savile, and I said, yeah, I wrote into him when I was young because I supported Tottenham. And I asked him to fix it to meet the team.
But unfortunately, enough, never happened.
Yeah, I didn't get to sit on his knee, yeah. But Maka, yeah, he's funny, isn't he? He's hilarious.
Maka's a great character.
Yeah, he is.
But I suppose I was asked by one fan to say, I think you and Faye were going away on a holiday to Prague. And Shamrock Rovers are playing in the Intertotal Cup.
Oh, yeah, that was funny. Well, we had a few days off, and I said to Faye, right, let's go away for a weekend. So I think it was like Thursday or Friday or something. And so just went to travel agents. They said, yeah, we've got a deal to go to Prague for free. I think it was like 2 or 3 days. So, oh, yeah, that's great. We'll get there. So get to the airport, and I see loads of people in like Shamrock Rovers shirts and that. I'm like, oh, geez, better get my head down just in case. And then, like, I was going to the flight, and then I'd see all these Rovers people. I'm like, oh, my God, why are they going to Prague? So I'm, like, oblivious. I didn't even know what was going on. Like, didn't know they had a game. So I checked it out with somebody, and they said, oh, yeah, Rovers are on a plane in Europe in Prague. And they, like, they chartered a flight, and this travel agent had put us
on that flight.
I'm like, oh my God. So we've got on there, and it wasn't long before, yeah, someone spotted us. And yeah, we were sitting there, and they were just singing songs from the back, you know, about me and whatever. But actually it was quite good natured. So I can't complain. It was good natured and it was good banter. I said to the missus, like, it's all right, when we get off the flight, we'll be away from them. And then like we got on a transfer coach, and there was full of Rovers fans as well. So straight to the hotel, and they were staying there. So it was just one of those like funny stories that it was a typical me thing to do, really. You know what I mean? I didn't even know it was a chartered flight, and I just got on there. And but they were good natured, I have to say.
Yeah, just wondering how you managed it. What they were thinking, how was Kevin Hunt ended up on our chartered flight?
What was that? Sorry,
I was sure they were thinking, how was Kevin Hunt ended up on our chartered flight?
I know, yeah. I mean, it was, yeah, you couldn't make it up, really. It was just one of those, like, weird, funny stories that happen every now and then, so, funny.
And just to finish up on your old career there, what was it like? I know Shamrock Rovers wouldn't be in the 40 yard these days, or certainly not in the 70s or 80s. What was the rivalry like with them even back then?
Oh, yeah, there was a massive rivalry. You could feel it. I think... Before those games, I know when players talk about sometimes adrenaline flows, and there are some games that you not have to get yourself up for, but, you know, you have to get yourself in the right frame of mind. When it was Rovers, you're just there straight away in the warm-up, bang, you're just feeling it. Because you know how much it meant to our fans, you know. So I think, like, probably every Rovers game, I was, like, bang on it all the time, so... it's hard to explain unless you know what I mean, playing in it and feeling it. But it was a big rivalry, and I think it always has been, always will be.
Yeah, big time. And I suppose you finished up retired, as you said, and it was nice to get a testimonial match in Daly Gone Park.
Yeah, it was. It was a really great day, actually. Like, I think it was in October, so normally it'd be peeing down the rain, but we had a lovely bright sunny day. We had some committee members, like, obviously we've got some good players together, like ex-Ireland internationals. Neil Lennon, I think Paddy Bonner, who was it, Mark Kinsella, I think Gary McAllister played as well, Scottish ex-Liverpool. We had a real good, it was a really good day, really good game, and it was just like that fitting end to what was a great, great time at the club.
Yeah, I think Neil Lennon's actually linked with the Pat's job. I'm not sure
how
much soap is the rest of that, but yeah, he is linked to the St. Pat's job these days.
Oh,
I was finishing up there. I'd like to get your the five-a-side team to pick with all the players you've played with.
Five-a-side. Oh, this is difficult. Yeah. One I picked before. I might change it slightly. Probably because Maka was Maka weren't happy that I didn't put him in the team. You know, and at my testimonial, I picked a team and like a bench. So it was 18. And he's like, "Oh, I can't believe I didn't get you in the I didn't get in the 18. I said, "Well, you were 19th, man. So yeah, you were my 19th choice." But yeah, okay. So I'll go Murphy in goal. Brian Murphy. He thought he was an outfield player as well. So
one of my earliest memories was being in the shed end, and I remember Morpheus taking the kick out, and I just remember couldn't believe the distance he was able to kick it.
Yeah. Oh, he had a great strike on him. Yeah, he's one of those keepers. He could play as well. So I'd stick him in goal. I'll put Maka at the back then because just give him a little bit of confidence. But no, Maka was a great player, actually. Really good, technical, like centre half. Could play, like to bring the ball out. Every time in training, when there was running, he would just like, you could say, like, we'd do the training session, he'd run the show, he'd do really well. Get to the running bit at the end, and he's sitting there with his boots off and one sock off. Like, and he's like, "Yeah, just feeling this. Oh, Macca's like, fancy the running again." So, but he was a really good player. So he'd be good in five side. I'll go Burnsy as well. Like, Burnsy is probably the most naturally gifted player I played with. Like, he had like a wand of a right foot. Funnily enough, like, he could run. He was quick. He had everything to be a top player, and obviously. Yeah. Celtic, and great character, great lad as well. So I'll put him there. I'll go on the left then. Burns is on the right, and then we'll put Crowe up front.
So, probably a front finish. Half not a bad five aside in there.
Yeah, that's it. We'll keep the ball and then Crowe can finish.
Yeah. And suppose what was your favourite moment as a player?
I think, as I said, the one that sticks in my mind is when that final whistle went against Aberdeen. We'd done something that I don't think any other Irish team had done.
Yeah.
And to suffer the way we had for, 45, 50 minutes, probably more, we've added time, to hang on to that, well, it was the away goals we won on, but to hang on to that result, I think that was, probably the best feeling individually.
And your worst moment as a player?
Worst moment? Probably a few, because I think, if I look back on my, 10 years there, you won the league twice. I think we should have won it. I think with the squads we had, we should have won it at least three times. I think three times I would have been satisfied. I think twice, it's okay. But so I look back on that. But you do have a lot more down moments. You do.
Yeah.
Up moments. And that's what I'd say to players now. Just really enjoy those moments when you do win a league, win a cup. Because most seasons you don't. Do you know what I mean? So I think, probably when I was giving up or realised that I had to give up, probably that blooming game against the Riga team when I just had an absolute nightmare and I couldn't run. And I was like, I'm done. So, probably that would be the worst moment.
You described it well there. The way I describe it is, particularly for our match going fans, is that football is 99% misery, 1% hiccup of joys.
That's it. Now you got to, and it changes very quickly, we've seen it at Bowes, like, you're down there, then you're back up there, and then you think it's going to last forever, and then you're back down there. And you got to enjoy every moment.
Yeah, it doesn't change, isn't chop all the time, man. Yeah. What would be the best player you've played against?
Best player I played against? Probably, you'd have to say like Yuri Djorkaeff. He was, he was a fantastic player. I got his shirt after as well, the Kaiserslautern game. So,
you know, you still have it?
Yeah, I've still got it somewhere. I played against Teddy Sheringham as well because we played a friendly against Tottenham one year. We played against him, so I played against Teddy Sheringham. I got his shirt as well. But my missus put it in the wash and it all. All the colours run, so I haven't got that one anymore. I would say those two. You think Miroslav closer in terms of how his career's turned out? I think in League of Ireland, people like Paddy McCourt, he was
yeah, wizard,
like genius on the ball. Remember Liam Coyle, like for Derry, he was a great player in terms of real technical ability. But Paddy McCourt, he was unbelievable. But sometimes your ability only takes you so far, and there are other things that stop you getting to the very, very top level. I don't know what it is, but he was on the ball. I love George Best. He was.
But yeah, with those the same type of players that have that problem, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it is. Yeah, because I think managers, I don't know, you need a manager that's going to indulge you a bit and give you that freedom. And I think a lot of managers don't. And it's funny, like Roddy loved players like that. Roddy loved Burnsy, like, because he knew what he could do for him. Like, Burnsy could do things that none of us others could do. Do you know what I mean? So he was, I would be like a consistent player. Burnsy was like, he'd do genius things, like, right, when you need it. Paddy McCourt was the same. So, yeah, it depends on the manager you have and, you know, how they feel about football.
Yeah, I suppose you started off your midfield battles, I think, was with Patsy Frayne and against Cork.
Yeah, that was it.
The toughest midfielder you came up against?
Ooh, toughest. I'd have to say a few again. I think like when we played against Shells, and you had, it was like Doolin and Fenlon, Paul Doolin and Nutsy playing in midfield, and they were such a clever partnership, you know. They're really switched on. So as a partnership, they were really tough to play against, because one would go, one would stay, and they could do a little bit of everything, both of them. I think Stewie Byrne, he was, in our battles with Shells at that time with Stephen Kenny, he was a real good player, box to box, scored goals, strong, aggressive. We had some great battles. I think Joe Gamble was, as I was getting to the end, Joe was coming through with Cork. He was a great little player. It was lucky enough to play against some really good players.
Yeah, and I suppose if you had one player to go for a drink with, dead or alive, who would it be?
What, like, famous one? The listeners, but probably Gazza. Like, I think growing up, I was a Tottenham fan, and obviously did these things for England. It'd be mental on a night out. not so much now, obviously, but
yeah,
in his pump, maybe Gazza.
Yeah, good answer. Good answer. And I suppose there'll be a lot of grown men sitting at home in their 30s and 40s, not able to sleep when they find out you're going to be on the podcast this week, because you're still held in high regard. But I suppose, what does Bowles mean to you these days?
Well, it's as I said, it's always a club in my heart, and I look out for the results. I haven't been back much. Obviously, come back for testimonial, we'll come back for another game, but I don't know. It's one of those things. Sometimes you move on, and it's like a lifetime ago. But Bowes gave me so much, like in terms of quality of life. I was playing professional football, training and playing every day, and the fans were great to me. So I'd love to come back one day, see everybody. It's a great club, special club, and I'll always be associated with it.
I can tell you now, your song is still sung every week on the terraces.
Yeah, some people send it to me at times, which is it's a bit mad. I met my kids and they're like, "What?"
I think you're one of those players that you don't die when you retire. You'll be with Jackie James, and your memory will constantly be carried on. Which is probably the regards I had.
Thank you. Yeah.
Coming from someone who actually has barely seen you kick a ball as well. So this is the sort of
That's the thing. Yeah. That's the thing, isn't it? Like, if they watch me, they probably wouldn't like me. But it is a special thing. After all this time as well, like, I left 14, 15 years ago. It's crazy, really, how the time's gone. So to still be held in high regard and have the flags and songs sung, I mean, it's quite surreal at times. And as I said, like I say it to the kids, and they're like, "You?" Why well, they're like you? They're like, so yeah, it's just funny, and it's just.
And I suppose if you do come back and throw the red carpet, will it be rolled out for you? What's Kevin Hunt up to these days?
Yeah, so as I said, I come back and I was scouting for Man City and then Liverpool. Now I'm working with an agency, a football agency, and yeah, I'd scout players, I'd look after players. Yeah, we sort out contracts and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, no, it's great to still be involved in football. And yeah, it takes the edge off, you know, when you have to retire to be able to stay in football. You know, I feel lucky. So yeah, it's going all right.
Happy days, and hopefully you stay in football for the rest of your life. That's the plan.
Well, hopefully, yeah. I mean, like once you're I think it's in most people's blood, isn't it? Football, and once you're in it, you want to stay in it, really. And it's, you know, it's the best game in the world, isn't it? So
Yeah, and you're hoping your two kids follow your footpath.
yeah, well, all three of them played. So my two girls, they played for the same team last year. So it's like in the Junior Premier League. So they were, you know, they were really good. But one of them's given up because she's doing her A levels now. My second daughter, she's 16. She's going to do a football scholarship next year. So she's doing really well. Yeah, I think both fans would like her. She's box to box. She gets stuck in. She's aggressive. She's doing great. My little boy is 9, and yeah, he started football a few years ago, and he's flying. He's a great little player, lovely little technical player. So yeah, I get my enjoyment from that as well, you know, to go and watch them play. Yeah, it's you know, sometimes it's even better than playing yourself sometimes. So to get that joy and pride from watching them, you know, play the game that you love. So yeah, I'm lucky.
Yeah, and we'll wrap up here, Kev, now, and this is pre-recorded, but I'll be playing Sligo when this is released on the Friday. I'll just ask you to give a quick prediction to the fans for the game.
Is it at home?
It's at home. We're currently third in the league, hopefully second by the time this is out.
Yeah. All right. We'll go 2-0.
2-0, boys. Happy days. So thanks again for tuning in, everyone, and Kevin Hunt, thanks very much for coming on.
Thanks very much for having me. It's a pleasure. Yeah, and hopefully be back there one day. I
Yeah,
keep saying
so
that, but yeah,
everybody's waiting with their arms open for you.
yeah, no, it'd be nice. Thank you. Thanks for having
Thanks.
me. Cause we all follow balls wherever they play. We don't care if it's home or away. We are the boys, and we're proud of our name. So we'll all bounce around. And